Turn, please, with me in your Bible to the Old Testament prophet Daniel. Daniel. I call him a prophet. Daniel himself wasn't necessarily considered a prophet necessarily, but he is in the section of material called our prophets. And so we'll turn to Daniel's book, chapter 2, this morning. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. We're going to read this morning the first 28 verses for our scripture reading. I'm breaking this chapter up into two sections, as it's a lot, but we want to highlight one big idea here and then another big idea, Lord willing, next week. Daniel chapter 2, you follow as I read, beginning in verse 1. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the commandment to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There's not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand." Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. And we'll end our reading there this morning. You know, we have missionaries that will come to our church, such as Lisa, who go to countries that are typically more westernized. We also have missionaries who go to countries around the world that are not so much that way. But all of them go to places with the intention, with the desire to proclaim Jesus Christ to the nations. That is the goal, really, of all missions, to work to fulfill the Great Commission that Jesus Christ gave in Matthew 28. Daniel was not one of those. Daniel was not a missionary like we say. Daniel did not raise support like Lisa's trying to do. Daniel did not have aspirations of someday going to Babylon and proclaiming the God of the earth to the Babylonians. That was not his goal. That was not his intention. That was not his plan. He was forcibly taken there. He was not asked to come to Babylon to share with them about this great God Jehovah to them. He was brought to Babylon with the expectation that he would adopt the Babylonian way of life, including their religious views and culture. But Daniel, along with his three friends, did something that was really out of the ordinary. We saw this last week in Daniel chapter 1. They held true to the Jewish faith, not just the Jewish nation. There's a difference, not just their Jewish heritage. They held true to the faith of Abraham. And Daniel and his friends held firm to the God of Israel. They worshiped the one true and living God in the midst of a heathen nation, and they told others about him. The key verse for our consideration today, really the theme for our sermon today, is verse 28, the beginning statement. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. That was Daniel's proclamation to Nebuchadnezzar. And it is the proclamation that I want us to consider today, that there is a God in heaven. He is to be worshipped. This whole second chapter of Daniel's book is about Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The chapter begins this way, this dream that the king had. The first 13 verses tell us about this dream and how it troubled the king, and he did not know what it meant, and he wanted to have someone else come, one of his wise men come, to tell him not just the interpretation, but to tell him even the content of the dream. Tell me what I dreamed, and tell me what that dream means. So in verse 2, he calls all these men. They're listed as magicians and astrologers and sorcerers and Chaldeans. Those are just different, almost synonymous terms used for the wise men of the area. They observed the stars. They claimed to communicate with the spirit world. They were sorcerers and priests. Babylon was known for such men, especially those who would look up at the stars and learn how to read the constellations and the time of things. It's even said that they were able to discern even the length of a year very accurately. If you fast forward several hundred years, you remember in Matthew chapter 2, the wise men who came from the east, who followed the star. It is very likely that those wise men from the east were descendants, really, of these wise men of Babylon, whom Daniel taught. They were very good at learning the stars, and they even had made certain manuals that they used to give interpretations to dreams. So if someone dreamed something, they could come to these wise men, tell them the contents of their dreams, and these guys would look in their manuals and look for various symbolism that they had in the manuals and attempt to give an interpretation to the dream that would at least satisfy the person who had the dream. Whether it was accurate or not, that's a different story. But they did that as a means to satisfy the person. And that's what they're asking of the king. King, tell us what your dream is, and we will give you the interpretation. But these wise men were handcuffed in what they could do here because the king did not tell them the content of the dream. And the king said if they could not tell him the content and the interpretation, he says in verse 5, they would be cut in pieces and their homes turned into ash heaps, something like a garbage dump. But if they could do so, there would be great rewards as well. And these guys persisted, said, King, what you're asking is basically impossible. There's no one who's been asked this before. You know, we can't tell you this, but if you tell us the dream, we'll tell you the interpretation. They're trying to get the king to do that, but the king became angry and even ordered the destruction of all the wise men of Babylon. That was the kind of king Nebuchadnezzar was. I've tried to mention this before, but you know, Nebuchadnezzar was a ruthless and brutal king. And this is just a little bit of evidence of that. You can't tell me what the dream was, the interpretation, I'll chop you up into pieces. And I'll make your homes like an ash heap, like a dunghill, like a garbage dump, is what he's saying. The time frame of this, as verse 1 tells us, is in the second full year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Now, Babylonian time reckoning, he became king in September of 605 BC. But the Babylonians did not officially recognize his first year of reign until April of 604 BC. So the second year of his reign would begin in April of 603 and go through March of 602 BC. Thus, you look at the time from Daniel and his friends in chapter 1 had to go through 3 years of training. Remember we looked at that last year? Their third year of training from the time they became exiles in Babylon, that would have ended during the second official year of Nebuchadnezzar. So they were amongst these men called the wise men, but it was still probably sometime during that second official year of the king's reign, and these friends, Daniel and his friends, though they were part of the group, they were still young, probably older teenagers by this time, 17, 18, 19 or so. Give or take a few months. But they were young wise men, and probably because of that, they were not as high on the wise men totem pole as the others. But you can see, as we read the group, the king ordered the destruction of all the wise men, and it says in verse 13, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Why? Because they were part of that group. They had been elevated to that position at the end of chapter 1. So verse 13, they're targets of the king's wrath. Verses 14 through 28 then, we find Daniel's response to what he finds out regarding the king's plan. In verses 14 and 15, he gains information about the situation from Arioch. Verse 16, he gains audience with the king and seeks for time and remarkably is granted time by the king. Verses 17 and 18, we have this prayer meeting consisting of Daniel and his three companions. That was the immediate response of Daniel when he heard what the situation was and the threat that was there, not just to him and his friends, but to the other wise men too. And rather than panicking, they prayed. That's a good lesson right there. It's always better to pray than to panic. And these men, they went to prayer. They did not panic. That's, by the way, what New Testament believers are told to do as well. Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And the peace of God will guard your hearts. Their prayer demonstrated an unashamed and unwavering dependency upon the one true and living God. They depended on God to reveal the secret. They depended on God to spare their lives, and God answered. So verses 19 through 23 tells of God's giving Daniel the information that he sought and also of their response to God in praise and song as a result. And then verses 24 through 28, Daniel goes to the king and gives him the information he requested. He tells him what the dream is. He will go on and tell him what the dream is, as well as its interpretation. And the king asks in verse 26, are you able? And I almost wonder, because he's introduced here as one of the captives of Judah in verse 25. And I almost wonder if Nebuchadnezzar is looking at this teenage boy, this captive from Judah, and he's looking at him, and I wonder if the inflection of the king's voice would be, are you able to tell me? I have all of these grand wise men, and you're able to tell me? Gotta wonder. Sanctified imagination, but we don't know for sure. But Daniel tells the king that what he asked for was an impossible request for his wise men to fulfill. Their wisdom was inadequate, their gods were inadequate, their abilities were inadequate, as were Daniel's abilities. But Daniel says, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to the king what will be in the latter days. Now, I want to take that thought in verse 28 and describe what this God is, who this God is here at the beginning of this chapter. First, there is a God in heaven who lives. You know, Babylon was known for having a wide variety of false gods in their religious system, much like other pagan nations. When the one true and living God is rejected, mankind becomes his own God. And the imaginations that he conjures up of all kinds of false images that are based in him. Other passages describe that people make gods in their own image, like them. And that's what Babylon had done. They rejected, way back, they rejected the one true and living God, and they substituted for that all the gods of their own imagination. And that still happens today. When a person rejects the one true and living God, they essentially worship themselves and their own conjurations, their own imaginations of their own mind. When God's word, either written or spoken, is rejected, man's thoughts and man's words become his own Bible. That was also the case in Babylon. They rejected the word of God. And the same thing happens today. When people reject the word of God, either written in the scripture or spoken, they become their own Bible. They make up their own rules, their own morals, their own ideas. Babylon had gods like Marduk and Bel and Aku and Nebo and Nergal and many others as well. But notice in verse 11 how the wise men described those gods. It says, the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh, seemed to be almost an aloofness that was recognized about their gods. But Daniel clearly communicates the notion that there is a God and he lives in heaven, but he's involved in the affairs of men. We may not construct little statues of wood or stone or metal and bow down to them ourselves, but if we are honest, we are very good at making our own kind of false gods. And in doing so, we deny the supremacy and the sole legitimacy of the one true and living God. John Calvin, the great reformer, said man's heart is basically like an idol factory. We can make idols out of pretty much anything, even good things, even things that are noble. We can make into gods, and we have to guard our hearts in that sense. Daniel was making it very clear to Nebuchadnezzar, and perhaps this was the first time, we don't know, but perhaps for the very first time, that there was a God in heaven, and he lived. Second, there is a God in heaven who knows. The word revealed is used 7 times in this chapter. Clearly, this is the thrust of what God is doing here. Something was a secret, and that word secret is used several times throughout the text as well. Something was secret, but there is a God in heaven who knows what that secret was. and he reveals it. The dream's meaning was hidden from the king. The dream's content and meaning was hidden from the other wise men. But Jehovah God is the one who reveals that which is unknowable to humanity. That should be a comforting thought for us. Do we understand that God is the one who knows the deep things, the hidden things, not just about the world, but even the hidden things of our hearts? God is the revealer of the secrets of men. And even on a world scale, God knows what is going on and around the world, and we don't always have to. But even coupled with this is the idea here that God is the God of wisdom. Wisdom and might are his, verse 20 says, and he gives wisdom, verse 21. God reveals what is necessary to know. Daniel merely prayed that he could know, that God could reveal these things to him. God alone knew what was going on. And Daniel knew that his God, that the one true and living God, could reveal these things. So Daniel and his friends prayed together for God to reveal the information. And God heard their prayers. And in this case, God answered. Now, God may not answer that for every person. Job never got the answer why this is happening. But in this case, God answered the prayer for his own glory's sake and revealed the hidden, the secret things to Daniel, and he in turn told it to the king. There is a God in heaven who really exists, and he knows. Nothing is a secret to the Lord. Third, there is a God in heaven who rules. There is a God in heaven who rules, and we did not read it today, but the rest of the chapter deals with the content and meaning of the dream, which lays out this incredible, grand historical picture for Nebuchadnezzar to know. And we'll consider that, Lord willing, next time. But God is the one who controls history, knowing the end from the beginning. God is the architect of time. The author, the completer of it as we know it, he rules over all. You think about this from a historical standpoint. How many world empires have there been in world history? I remember taking a class in college. You probably took one something similar in college. History of civilization. You learn about the history of this nation and this ruler and these dates. I had a hard time keeping all the nations and the kings and the dates and the events straight. I barely stayed above sea level, if you get my meaning, in history of civilization. And I was thankful to pass. But God is the one who knows it all and who rules over all of the kingdoms of the earth. History, as it said, is God's story. No ruler or world empire or nation is outside the boundaries of God's rule. And again, that should comfort us as we look around our world today. From a human standpoint, there are some world leaders who are doing okay, and there's some who are horrific in what they're doing. There are nearly 200 countries in our world today, and none of them are outside the mighty power and rule of the God in heaven. God has plans for each of them. It's not up to me to know what those plans exactly are for all those nations. We have kind of a general idea, but God knows the specifics, the details. He rules over all of them. And that should comfort us. It is merely up to us to be faithful and to trust him with controlling the world. There is a God in heaven who rules over and controls history. And because God exists, because God is the revealer of secrets, because God controls history, this leads then to a fourth consideration, that there is a God in heaven who is to be worshipped. This is really the content here of Daniel's song in verses 20 through 23. He says, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." The name of God indicates God's nature, his character, his personhood, and there should be no end to this praise. Why? because he goes on, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. God is the God of times. God is the God of the seasons, not just the seasons of nature, winter, spring, summer, fall. He is the God of the seasons of empires, of civilizations. He raises up certain kingdoms at the appointed times, and he lowers them away. He destroys them. He removes them. God is the God of seasons. Verse 21 goes on, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things and knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. God is wisdom and knowledge and light. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing is a secret to him. And as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then Daniel changes it to personal thoughts in verse 23. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might. You have and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. Daniel is voicing great praise to God for what he has done, for who he is, and for answering their prayers. Side note, there is value to the corporate prayer meeting. And I encourage you to come. Come on Wednesday nights. God is worthy to be worshiped, to be praised, for his is the wisdom and might and the knowledge to reveal that which is hidden from men. To him be praise forever and ever. And one final point this morning that Daniel models for us here. Fifth, there is a God in heaven who is to be proclaimed. Daniel is the Hebrew exile, this teenage captive. But when he has an audience with the king, Daniel tells him about the one true and living God. It's interesting, I think, how Arioch voices what he says and how Daniel says what he says. If you look at verse 25, Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said to the king, I have found a man of the captives of Judah. It's almost like Arioch is taking the credit. I have searched high and low and I have found this guy. But then notice how Daniel talks in verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. If you jump down to verse 30, but as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. Daniel does not, he's not out for the credit. He's not seeking to elevate himself. He points the attention to God. And again, perhaps it was for the first time, we're not told, but perhaps this was the first time Nebuchadnezzar heard there is a God in heaven. Daniel proclaims him to him. Do you know this God today? Not just know about him. Many in the world know about this God. But do you know him? You can know him only through salvation in Jesus the Messiah. There is a God in heaven who knows exactly what you need in your deepest thoughts of your heart. He is the God who rules over all creation and is worthy to be worshipped. God has revealed himself to you through his word, and his word today declares his uniqueness, his excellency, his superiority, his goodness, and his glorious power. He has also revealed himself through his incarnate son, Jesus of Nazareth, who lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins to provide salvation for all who would turn from their sins and trust him alone to save them from their sins and to give them eternal life. Do you know this God? Is he your God? Have you truly been born again? Are you trying to hold on to other things as God? There is no other God. There is a God who lives in heaven. Jehovah is his name. All those other false gods that these Babylonian men tried to serve, they were false. They couldn't do anything. They knew nothing because they had no mind to know anything. They are false gods. I urge you today, if you do not know him, to believe him, to fear him, to worship him, to rely on him completely, and to give him praise forever and ever. Repent of your sin. Turn to him alone through Jesus Christ and receive that forgiveness of sins yourself. For us who are believers, I urge us to do our part in proclaiming this sovereign God to the nations. Daniel proclaimed to the king, there is a God in heaven, and he is to be worshiped. Let's pray together. Our Father,